Thank God it is Friday.
TGIF.
5 p.m. Friday. Really, TGIF indeed. I hope you are in the same position as me right now, which is to say work is over, a weekend to look forward to. Hopefully you have some interesting things lined up for the weekend, or maybe some rest. That would be novel.
How novel?
That could be a great idea. That's what I'm looking forward to. And I'm listening to this theme song. This thing is like 20 years old now. We recorded this about 20 years ago.
Yeah, why don't you do a new one?
It's holding up. I'm going to have to talk to the guys about recording something new one day. Try to get another instrumental on there, but I'm still happy with this one.
You love it.
Anyway, that's the old band fading off in the distance there. I am your host, Tom Ryan, here for another edition of American Hit Radio. With me, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan.
You're slightly less angry. Co-host.
After Wednesday. Oh, that was great. That was so funny. I had to do our entire show with Heidi, like, you know, shooting bullets at me. But we survived.
From my eyes.
Here we are. This is show number 13, Heidi, in our How Music Changed series dedicated to the Rolling Stones. This is going to be fairly easy from an informative perspective because last week we started our coverage of the album Aftermath. And we laid down all the info that we really needed to present for it. So really what we've got to do for this show is just continue through the remainder of songs that were not covered. We were looking at the album basically from an American perspective, the tunes that were on the American release, which was significantly different from the British release. So we're going to basically continue this show by looking at the balance of tunes that were on the American album, and then we'll finish up with the songs that were cut from the American album, and that's how we'll end the show. What a lot of people don't realize, if you're a Stones fan, I think even Stones fans tend to basically focus on their hits, and some of their better albums have pretty deep album tracks that never really got much airplay, that remain a little bit obscure. And that's really what we're going to be looking at today are a lot of songs that are on this album, Aftermath, that really didn't get much coverage as far as being considered quote-unquote hits. But it is some of their better work. I mean, at this point, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards are really beginning to figure out they got the writing thing down pretty much now, finally. I mean, they hit the ground running with Satisfaction. 19th Nervous Breakdown proved it. You know, Paint It Black basically continued in that same direction. And so they had a bunch of other songs. This song sounds like when they were writing it, they might have been considering it as a possibility for a single. It sounds like it was like one of those things that said, it could have been a single, but maybe not quite. It'll be good on the album. It's got the same fuzz bass that Bill Wyman was using on other tracks. Of course, it's another song, like about five or six other songs in this album, that basically treats women sees them in a negative light. Stupid girl under my thumb. Don't you bother me. It goes on and on the list. So this one is called Think, where Mick Jagger is blaming the female 100% for whatever's happening that is going wrong in their relationship.
That's nice.
Here's that track, Think.
No charge of any kind. Try a very simple test. You should just retrace your steps and think back, back a little bit, baby. Back, back. All right. Lived, I'll never know. Counting people
That's a good example of why I think that Aftermath is one of the better Stones albums. Like I said, it's like a real good package of material rather than just a collection of odds and ends. It's the first album that really qualifies as that that came out in the United States. And to me, a good album is not only one that's got great hits on it, but where the deeper songs are also really good and interesting. And this album, I definitely feel, falls into that category, because despite the obvious hits like, you know, Lady Jane, Painted Black, Under My Thumb, the other tracks that fill it out might be obscure from a radio perspective or from a fan of classic rock, but they're great Stone songs. They're really good Jagger Richards songs and, you know, really good arrangements like that track there, I think. Although, like I said, obviously you hear Jagger pointing right at his girlfriend. It's like he's looking at Chrissy Shrimpton right in the eye and saying, tell me whose fault is that, babe? Like, everything's on her. It doesn't matter that, you know, he's traveling around the world and doing whatever he's got to do. It's basically, you know, shut up and put up with me.
Boy, do I know that feeling.
You're not supposed to be mad at me anymore. Not on the air, anyway. That's not right.
I just suddenly had a flashback.
I'm going to change the subject to the next song and see if I can get over this by next week. Man. Next track up is it's a weird one, actually. It's called Flight 505. It's a song about just getting on an airplane for the heck of it, and then it crashes into the ocean.
Oops.
That's all. And it's kind of like, the way that it's sung, it's kind of like, oh, well, that was cool. I guess this is where it all ends. It's almost, you know, like not only happenstance, but it's almost like they shrug it off, like it's not a big deal. It's pretty weird. One thing that's cool about it is Ian Stewart, who was really the sixth Rolling Stone, really probably even more than that. I mean, this is the guy that put the band together. He deserved so much more credit than he ever got. He's with the band, on tour with the band. He's doing everything but posing for their cover photos, really. You know?
He would have done that, too.
Yeah, if they let him.
Yeah.
Of course he would have. That's just it. It's sort of a sad set of affairs. Just because he was a couple of years older and he had a square jaw, he didn't have that youthful look. So they said, nope, you're not in the band. But you can carry our bags if you want. You can be our road manager. And you can still play piano on all of our songs. So he does. And he does a great job. He's a really good, you know, barrel house boogie-woogie sort of a player, which Charlie loved, still does love to this day, because Charlie Watts is in a boogie-woogie band outside of the Stones, whatever
right.
He can be. So anyway, here's the track featuring Ian Stewart as he brings it in. It's called Flight 505.
Happy.
an odd rocker, but that's really kind of like what a good album does, is it's got music that basically takes you in different places, shows that the songwriters have got some diversity. And that's the cool thing about what's happening here. All of a sudden, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards they've forgotten writing about all that really wimpy stuff that they were doing early on. That hard edge thing became quite obvious. That they think they realized that the more of an edge that they put into their lyrics, the more likely it was going to be a hit. I mean, that's the lesson taken from songs like Get Off of My Cloud and Satisfaction.
Right.
Right. You just have lots of attitude, we'll sell.
Goes a long way.
So this is sort of like what they're doing in there. But they're trying on different styles. And I think that what's influencing them more than anything now is their trips to America. They don't sound like a British band as much as they did before. They really sound like a band that is, they don't sound like a bunch of British guys learning the blues. They sound like an American band with American influences. They're, singing about the radio and cigarettes that are being smoked and commercials and what's happening on television. It's very much an American perspective, more than a British perspective.
Well, they loved American music, which is why they were doing the blues.
And why they were in America so much, and why they kept coming to America, and why they were recording all their stuff in America.
Right, they were trying to get that feel, that sound.
But by this point in time now, they've had like 4, maybe 5 tours of the United States already. So they were spending much more time here than, say, the Beatles.
Right.
And, the Beatles didn't record in America. The Stones did. So there was another significant difference. So there was an awful lot that the Rolling Stones did that helped to Americanize them in a lot of ways. And it came out. I mean, everybody knows, like, with songs like Far Away Eyes. And let's see, another one, Factory Girl. There's an awful lot of like faux country songs that the Stones have put out throughout their career. It had to start somewhere, and I think it started on this album with this next track. If you listen to Mick Jagger, he's adopting this really obvious Southern twang in his voice, and it's coming right through his British accent. So you get this really weird combination of a Brit imitating a Southern accent, and you can't. I mean, is he mocking American Southern culture? Is he praising it? Is he playing with it? I mean, obviously, the attitude of the song is very tongue in cheek, and you can tell that he knows that it's a bit of a send up. So you're just wondering if he's doing it. Is it lighthearted, or is he really kind of making a little bit of a dig at Southern American culture? Listen, and you tell me. The name of the track is High and Dry.
Make sure that the girl will be much poorer.
major.
Or High and Dry. It might be the song that qualifies as the very first country song released by the Rolling Stones on that track. I want to read a couple of, from a review for the album, Aftermath, as it appeared in the book Illustrated Record by Roy Carr. He has a couple of interesting things to say, insights, and man, so this is as good a time as any to read what he's got to say. Aftermath follows directly in the wake of the Stones' trilogy of songs based on their American experience. I Can't Get No Satisfaction, Get Off of My Cloud, and 19th Nervous Breakdown, and it establishes that they had gained sufficient confidence in their own writing prowess to present an album of all original material. Though perhaps they weren't aware of it at the time, their initial adrenaline rush, which had sustained them for 3 years, was about to exhaust itself. However, the sheer momentum of their struggle for stateside supremacy enabled them to pull off this coup de grace without showing any signs of artistic fatigue. Many of the tracks on this LP are preoccupied with the Stones' first sojourn into their highly personalized brand of sexist raunch, and although albums like Beggar's Banquet and Let It Bleed would further extrapolate many of these themes, this album reveals for the first time the true nature of their intolerable male chauvinism. This was the period when swinging London was reflecting a more ambiguous sexual temperature. No longer was the populace sexually repressed, or at least that's what the media informed them. However, according to Jagger's attitude, it was a one-sided lust affair. Men were men and women were sex objects.
Lovely.
Fundamentally, Aftermath is an on-the-road album. It reflects life in a goldfish bowl. Being fawned over, having every whim pandered to, and thrust into a position to order anything on room service that will temporarily sate any pleasure or perversion. As with most rock bands in a similar position, they were playing out a heavy sex charade to the point where supply quickly outweighed demand, and overindulgence resulted in boredom, antagonism, and sheer apathy. As these songs substantiate, sex is casual as this rapidly degenerates into being vicious and sadomasochistic, with Macho Mick emerging as master of the penultimate put-down. Aftermath, by nature of its stance then, brands the Rolling Stones as anti-feminists. Jagger's disdain for women for their apparent mindlessness is expounded at various levels of contempt. The paranoia of pep pill poppers and Mother's Little Helper, which we will get to. What a drag it is getting old. Incompatibility on Stupid Girl. She's the worst thing in the world. The oppressive under my thumb. It's down to me the way she does just what she's told. Or don't you bother me. We'll pick your own mind and don't touch mine no more. The apathetic High and Dry, which we just heard. Lucky I didn't have any love towards her. And the ultimate snub, Out of Time. You're obsolete, my baby. However, isn't all male dominant female submission, like for Lady Jane, finds the singer being compromised, which leads one to suspect that many of these songs were written by way of retaliation. Jagger could only enjoy the good times when his women were giving him a hard time. That being said, here's an interesting track, because this song is more or less about finding yourself in a situation where you don't have a relationship. It's almost like the can't live with him, can't live without him sort of a thing that's going on here with Mick Jagger. This track is called It's Not Easy.
And it's
These songs are short, man. I didn't expect
I know.
To be that quick.
Wow, caught you off guard.
Actually, that's not as short as I thought. It seemed really quick, but it was, that was 2 minutes and 58 seconds. Felt like a minute 58. Anyway, let me remind you, you are listening to the Friday edition of American Hit Radio, where we actually call it How Music Changed on Fridays. Heidi and I are here every Wednesday and Friday from 5 p.m. until 6 p.m. The reason we call it How Music Changed on Fridays is because we have picked 250 topics that we, or bands, artists, that we consider to be the most influential that have taken place since the dawn of recorded music. So we have arranged them chronologically from 1900, more or less, until the present. And we are covering them one at a time, using as many shows as it takes to cover them.
We tried two at a time, but it just didn't work.
The first few shows were just one
I'm
show.
Kidding.
We did, actually. The first three or four shows we did were all just one show. And then you hit somebody like you know, like Bob Dylan, and you're like,
this is just not working.
What are we going to do? Play 3 seconds of every song that matters, you know? Just a stream of titles. Just go, boy, wasn't he good?
Here are all his hits.
So, obviously, like I said, this is show number 13 dedicated to the Rolling Stones, and we're still in 1966. We will eventually taper our coverage as we go through, but I think this part of the band's career is significant enough to try to cover all the major album tracks and singles and A-sides and B-sides. So we're pretty much hitting on all of it at this point in time. One more track to play from the American version before that is done, and then we're left with the British version, the leftover songs, so to speak. This is another one of those songs that actually sounds like it was probably very much influenced by their time in America. Keith Richards actually said at some point that the band was actually getting, was being influenced by Appalachian sounds, probably
wow.
from driving, you know, around a lot, up and down the
back
corridor.
When you could just tune in your dial as you were driving along and hear the regional sounds.
Exactly. Well, you hear things like the dulcimer on Lady Jane, for example. I always considered that in my own mind to be something which was a British influence, but apparently that's something that was, again, you know, came from Appalachia. So I think this is one of those songs that Keith said he was writing while thinking of American song styles in mind. Very interesting song for them, too. It actually is a reflective song. So I guess they never considered it to be a single. But again, it shows the diversity of their writing around this point in time. The name of this track is I Am Waiting.
I am waiting. I am waiting. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I am waiting. I am waiting. Waiting for someone to come out of somewhere. Waiting for someone to come out of somewhere. You can't hold out. You can't hold out. Oh yeah, oh yeah. You can't hold out. You can't hold out. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Waiting for someone to come out of somewhere. Waiting for someone to come out of somewhere. See it come along. Bones.
waiting for someone to come out of somewhere. Waiting for someone to come out of somewhere.
I think we just heard six songs, all from the album Aftermath. None of them
hits.
Hard
to believe.
Right. Yeah, none of them hits, but all of them like very indicative of what the band was about.
Right.
And the songs that are remaining, I'm going to play now, the songs that were edited off of the American version of Aftermath, on the UK version only. One of them is a song that is really kind of popular in America, and I'm sitting here trying to figure out how. The track Out of Time, which I'm sure you know,
by
title, was not released up until this point on any album in America. It wasn't released as a single. There was eventually versions that were put out on collections, and so I guess the track somehow managed to get airplay because it was a sort of a hit, at least in Great Britain. But I don't understand how this song managed to get
any popularity.
Popularity here in the States, because it was not a single. Now, the way that the singles ran in America was, you know, Last Time, Play With Fire, Satisfaction, Get Off of My Cloud, As Tears Go By, 19th Nervous Breakdown, Painted Black, Mother's Little Helper. It's not there. It's not on this album. It wasn't on the. It was not on any American album. And there was a greatest hits collection that came out around this time, entitled Big Hits, High Tide and Green Grass. And that contained The Last Time, Tears Go By, Time Is On My Side, It's All Over Now, Tell Me, 19th Nervous Breakdown, Heart of Stone, Get Off of My Cloud, Not Fade Away, Good Times, Bad Times, Play With Fire. Did not have Out of Time. So how the song got popular in America is a bit of a mystery to me. One of the longest songs that the Stones released up until this point in time, notwithstanding the track Going Home, which ended our show last week. At 5.5 minutes, here's the full version of Out of Time.
You don't know what's going on. Come back and think you are still there. You're out of touch, my baby. My phone just got it, baby. I said, baby, 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 you're out of time. Well, baby, 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 you're out of time. I said, first in line. Oh no, you're outside.
going on. You've been away for much too long, but you can't come back and think you are still mad.
Just pointed out, I should have saved that. It would have been a great way to end the show, huh? But I got time left. I got time for more.
You're not out of time.
I'm not out of time. I'm just amazed when I look at this. Every single song is in some way making a dig at women. It's not just in the obvious ones where I was like thinking, oh yeah, obviously the song titles, Under My Thumb and Stupid Girl are pretty plain. Don't You Bother Me, that sort of thing. But even the subtle ones, like this next track, Take It or Leave It, there's another song where it's
an ultimatum.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically, this track was on the British version of Aftermath, not the American one. Like I said, it would eventually be released on the Flowers collection, which was the third American album that was compiling a bunch of leftover tracks that were lying around. But it was a crucial part of Aftermath, and it fit in brilliantly with the rest of the songs, to be honest, because it was another song basically putting down women. It seems like the way that the Stones got away with it is that, like, what, they sound like they don't care. Like, just in their attitude, it's like really,
take
it or
leave it. You know, people always try to peg them as, like, the opposite of the Beatles. Well, in their attitude towards women also, I mean, you know, like, John was always crying about a woman being faithful to him or about losing her or going to not spoil a party.
Right.
He really just doesn't care. You know, Mick doesn't care.
See, that's just it. Mick's method is way more, it works better as far as getting under the skin of the victim or the person who he's directing it at, because he's not pouting or crying or yelling that he's mad and that he's gonna, that his, you know, jealousy is gonna, you know, wreak havoc. He's just saying basically, I could care less. Just, you know, take it or leave
you're
it.
You're out of time.
I'm not angry. Just your problem, not mine, isn't it? It tends to work a lot more. It basically leaves the woman to be the one who is hurt or feeling scorned ultimately. Oh, here's the name of this name. Oh, blah. Here's that track. It's called Take It or Leave It.
You can turn off and on more times than a flash in neon sand. When you want your bad, but you can be so kind. Just take it or leave it. Don't tell your friend just what you're gonna do now. You take it or leave it. It's just my life. There have been times when you tried making eyes at all my so-called friends. Then you go, now you're back, but you can be so kind. Just take it or leave it.
Don't tell your friend just what you're gonna do now. You take it or leave it. It's just my life. Oh la 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 ta 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 la 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 la. Oh la 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 ta 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 la la. Oh la 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 ta 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 la 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 la. Oh la 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 ta 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 la la. I'm sick and tired of the smile that you give when you don't come home at night. You said you called, that's a lie. That you could be so kind. Just take it or leave it. Don't tell your friend just what you're gonna do now. You take it or leave it. It's just my life. Oh la 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 ta 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 la 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 la. Oh la 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 ta 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 la la. Oh la 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 ta 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 la 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 la. Oh la 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 ta 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 la la. Oh la 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 ta 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 la 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 la.
Fairly ridiculous syllabics there for the harmonies.
They never did have great harmonies. No. Nothing to compare to the Beatles there.
No, definitely not. This next track is kind of similar. It's also got really weird syllabics on the harmonies, come to think of it. Two weird ones back to back from the British version of Aftermath. This song, topically, is also, if you know, that track wasn't, you know, one of their more stellar efforts, this one maybe even less so. It's called What to Do, and it's basically a song about having nothing to do. And they repeat it so often, it's like, I get the point, you're bored. Now, you know, you're boring me by telling me over and over again how bored you are. I guess it's an on the road, stuck in my hotel room sort of a song. And here it is, What to Do.
What to do, yeah, I really don't know.
It's really funny how you mentioned that lyric in there about what, you know, maybe when the TV stops.
Yeah.
I bet there's an entire generation, maybe two, maybe even three generations that don't remember TV stopping.
Don't know what that means.
Yeah. When the signal would go dead and you just get that weird
that
test pattern.
Yeah.
On the screen.
Or an Indian head, right?
Yeah, for a while. Boy, that's going way back, but yeah. Boy. Well, you hear what's happened here, obviously. Jagger and Richards had moved away from their, well, they figured out a way to meld their love of the blues with their songwriting, got brilliant at it, started to write better songs, and once they started writing better songs, they started branching out into different styles, maybe being informed by their knowledge of the blues, but they're not worried about maintaining blues in any way,
right,
shape,
in the
or form.
Strictest.
Right, they weren't purists about it at all. So there's all sorts of different things going on. This is what made either version of the album Aftermath quite interesting, the UK version or the American one, which I honestly think that the American version was significantly better, just in light of the fact that it removed some of the lesser tracks.
Right.
And is, yeah, it just stays, has a great sense of continuity to it. Now, the single from the album that was released in the United States was Painted Black, which was the lead-off song on the American version. In Great Britain, however, that track was considered to be a single track only, so it didn't appear on the album.
Oh.
In America, when Painted Black was released, Stupid Girl was the B-side. In Great Britain, though, it had a different B-side, and it was a song that, again, one of these songs that you wouldn't see released for quite a while in America. But here, then, let's play the B-side of Painted Black, of the UK version of Painted Black. It's, again, it's the Stones getting a little bit closer, I guess, showing like maybe the influences of people like Otis Redding and Solomon Burke. It's a territory where Jagger is really walking a very fine tightrope of credibility or even pushing his talent a bit. But, well, it's a B-side. It's called Long, Long While.
Been a long, long time. Been a long, long time. I was wronger, and you were right. Baby, baby, took a long, long while. Took a long, long while. Took a long, long while. But I found out you were right. Still you have those happy eyes. I will try and apologize. Baby, baby, still the same old smile. Still the same old smile. Still the same old smile. I was so wrong, but, and you were right. Still you have those happy eyes. Yeah. I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try an old apologize. Oh, baby, baby, been a long. Been a long, long time. Been a long, long time. I was wrong, girl, and you were right. Oh, baby, baby, won't you change your mind? Won't you change your mind? Won't you change your mind? I was wrong, girl. But not this. No, I said, baby, baby, it's been a long, long time. It's been such a long, a lonely time. It's been such a long, long time. I was wrong, but I admit, you were right. Oh, come on now, baby, baby, I just want to change.
Now, really, how funny is this? there's a song where
he finally apologizes to a woman.
Right, but
and God, it's buried on a B-side.
Right, he can't put it on the album because every song on the album puts women down. Every single song. And here he is finally basically making
some... I tell you,
that
didn't get him any brownie points.
A little act of contrition there, just a little bit. And he buries it on a B-side. That's hysterical. I think that's great. Now, you got time for one more, so we'll play the single. This was great. I mean, Mother's Little Helper was so... Talk about back to put-down songs, but this time it's not a girlfriend. It's just... It's another one of these society put-down songs in general, right? But what's crazy about it, I mean, think about how many songs were getting banned because the word high would be in it. And it would be automatically be presumed to be, oh, that's about drugs. People were banning songs left and right around 1966, 1967 for the dumbest of reasons. Songs that really had nothing to do with drugs at all were being banned. And here is a song that flat out is about drug abuse. Flat out. It's, you know, Mother's Little Helper. It's right there in the name. It's about taking pills. It's in the lyrics.
Yeah, but it wasn't considered a drug addict song if it was a mother's pill.
But that's what's so bizarre, because it
I
is
know.
About
well, that
a
was
mother
a double standard.
Who's addicted to drugs.
Yes, I know. We do recognize that. That's why Elvis died from prescribed drugs.
Right,
but people didn't recognize him as a drug addict because he was getting them prescribed.
You can just see how two-faced society was.
Yes.
It made absolutely no sense, the fact that you could be judgmental on one hand and yet let this thing go through because, oh, he's just talking about a woman taking her prescription pills. What's so bad about that?
Right.
In the meantime, what's the difference? It's drug addiction. And to make it even more ironic, this little snippet here that is taken from the first 20 years. This is actually from the Daily Express. Rolling Stone singer Mick Jagger collapsed from overwork and exhaustion soon after moving into his new home near Regent's Park. He has been ordered by his doctor to take 2 weeks rest as he is suffering from nervous stress. The guy had a nervous breakdown. This is right after singing and writing 19th Nervous Breakdown, where he's totally judgmental. It ends up, it's incredible, really, the irony here. Mother's Little Helper, the B-side Lady Jane, was released as a single in America. The American version of Aftermath also released at the same time. In the first 2 days, the album sold 350,000 copies to become the Stones' fourth consecutive American Gold album. And of course, Mother's Little Helper, their next huge monster American hit. Hope you enjoyed the show, everybody. We'll see you next week as we continue with show number 14, dedicated to the Rolling Stones.
What a drag it is getting old. Kids are different today. I hear every mother say, mother needs something today to calm her down. Gets her through her busy day. Things are different today. I hear every mother say, cooking fresh food for her husband's just a drag. So she buys an instant cake, and she finds a frozen steak, and goes running for the shelter of her mother's little helper. And to help her on her way, get her through her busy day. Doctor, please, some more of these. Outside the door, she took four more. What a drag it is getting old. Men just aren't the same today. I hear every mother say, they just don't that you get tired. They're so hard to satisfy. You can tranquilize your man. So go running for the shelter of a mother's little helper. And for help you through the night, help to minimize your flight. Doctor, please, some more of these. Outside the door, she took four more.
of happiness just seems a bore. And if you